right into your phone calls in a bit at 521-8383. But first of all, I got to tell you that LG is going to have to leave just a shade early today because we got these dignitaries arriving.
Mm.
It's like the heads of state from another country. These little kids from Waipio are coming back with the gold.
Absolutely.
What a thrill, huh?
Great weekend.
And by the way, you know what? I had to call a bunch of my mainland sports talk stations this morning. Every single one of those guys said, okay, so what does it feel like to have the world champion little leaguers? In other words, I thought they were going to say, what does it feel like to have the world champion decathlon Brian Clay?
Absolutely.
And
you're
Natasha
right.
Kai
That's
and
right.
all of this stuff.
That's right. They Clay
wanna
Stanley,
know about,
yeah.
They want to know about the kids.
Because
that's the deal.
That's like, you know, Little League Baseball. I mean, it is the granddaddy of them all. You got Brent Musburger, and who else? Oral Hershiser was a color guy yesterday.
It's the purest, you know? Most sporting
It
game.
Is. And let me tell you what was the best moment. I don't know did you see the game yesterday?
I cannot tell a lie. I did not.
Oh, okay. So anyway, I made that a priority, so we watched the whole game, and I can't recall what inning it was, but Mexico was down,
mm-hmm.
and they
What do you mean down? They got hosed.
Okay, Mexico was losing the game,
yeah.
And so they had a shot of the dugout,
yep.
of Mexico's dugout, and there was one of their players, and he was kicking back on the bench,
yep.
and he was eating his Snickers bar,
yep.
and he wanted to eat
that's
huge Snicker bar.
But, you know, that's perfect because, you know, for a kid, it's a game.
No, that's right.
Everybody else is they're just, like, sitting on the edge of their seats for bragging rights.
And this kid was just enjoying it. I mean, he wasn't laughing, but he was, let me tell you, he was into that Snicker bar. And it was one of those big ones, like I said. So, to me, that's the defining one. But great weekend. I saw the Saturday game on a delay basis. I went home. I had an event that day, so I couldn't see it. Went home that night and watched it because I heard about the finish, and it was exciting. God, it was exciting.
Okay, so anyway, they're getting off the plane. They're coming in right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know that they're on cloud 113.
Oh, yeah, and they're also tired.
Yeah, and they missed the first day of school.
That's right. You know?
Those that went to private school, they missed.
Yeah, I don't think they're rushing back to go back to school.
Hey,
yeah.
By the way, before we get into the calls and before we get into what you're going to say to these little kids and everything, what was the report around the office about the Beat the School Jam today? How'd it go this morning?
It was fine.
I thought it was pretty mellow, actually.
I mean, I didn't have any. I left a little late today. I left about 8:15, which was no problem. We flew in, and I didn't hear any reports. My daughter left earlier. She didn't say anything, so but I guess it was okay. I guess they did.
Oh, we had a great show. We had a great show the other day with Brennan Morioka and also Tammy Mori, who's doing a great job replacing Scott Ishikawa, and they laid it all out. In other words, if you woke up this morning and you were going, duh, you had no reason not to know what was going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. They did a good job of that. Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. 521-8383 is the number. We got more on what's coming up with the LG today on these little leaguers. We're proud as punch of these little guys and the recognition they get. What I said earlier, real quick, is it's going to be interesting to see if any of these kids get to the next level. I'm talking high school, college, and who knows, maybe even pro.
You know, this morning they had several articles, and one article was about Hawaii being seen now as a Little League power because we won it in 2005, and now we want it again. And that's pretty unusual for a small state such as ours to win it like was in back-to-back.
And by the way, not an all-star team.
Right.
Just a team.
Yeah, within 3 years. That was, so the question is just what you just said. So how many of these kids are still playing? Apparently in the 2005 team, they said 11 of the 12 are still playing baseball. So one is already dropped out of baseball.
Right, right.
So you're right. And a couple of those kids go to St. Louis, so I've been kind of following their careers, and all of them are still playing, and they're all good players. Mm-hmm. So, it's going to be interesting
to see. Somebody called earlier to remind us that baseball, a lot of baseball's beginnings were from Hawaii, that we're a lot more connected to baseball because of Cartwright than a lot of other people, he's being credited. He's one of the fathers of baseball.
That's right. Yeah. You're right.
Before we go to traffic and a break and all that stuff, let's go to Sam in Waiwa, holding on a long time. Sam, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you. Actually, I'd like to throw one more question onto this. My question was, when do you see the economy in Hawaii turning around? And I know you don't have a crystal ball, but I just wonder if maybe there's something coming down the pike that might stimulate things. And the second thing is, when you get to the airport, give them an invitation from Mike Buck to come down to the station, and I think their channel should throw them a great big party.
Oh, yeah, we'll buy them all something. Yeah. I was trying to figure out a way to give them all free nature bee.
<Something. laughs>
But, Sam, that's a good one, because obviously the state, the administration, you guys got to be paying attention to this economy. Got to have some thoughts.
Oh, absolutely. The economists their projections are maybe in 2010, maybe the latter part of 2009. A lot of it is contingent upon the challenges we're having now with fuel prices and oil. And what strides we make between now and then. They don't see oil prices coming down very much between now and who knows when. And so as a result of that, everything goes up. So that's why inflation is up. So it's just something we're going to have to ride out, though. So what we're doing in the meantime is, especially with our number one industry, which is tourism, we got to look at some different strategies on how we can get more people here to the islands. And, of course, we're looking to... we do have a visa waiver program with Korea that we're working on and just trying to get that done as quickly as possible. Opening up more markets to China and getting more people from China. And, of course, Japan is always there, but working that just as well. But we believe that if we work the markets that make Hawaii, Hawaii with tourism, which is basically the West Coast, And look at those markets and concentrate on those and try to get more people out there from Hawaii in the short term. That'll work to our advantage to the best that we can. Because really, all tourism destinations are suffering right now. And so we just have to do the best we can with that. And in the meantime, keep doing what we're doing, which is, we made this commitment a couple of years ago to transform our economy to one of innovation and look for industries in that area. And that's where the energy initiative that we have going on right now, Hawaii Clean Energy Initiative, is working to our advantage. We're being very aggressive on that. This Wednesday, we got a press conference, so we're going to introduce our new facilitator to the public. Of course, we have a lot of companies that are interested in starting up renewable projects here in Hawaii. So we're gonna maintain that track, and then we'll see what happens, Sam. But we're always optimistic about things of this nature. So we'll see. You know, and really, we're doing all right in comparison to other states. So for now, everything is okay. You know, one indicator that you look at is real estate. And our real estate prices are still up there. So that's a good indication, especially in light of the fact that, you know, a lot of these subprime, the subprime controversy was one of the big catalysts to our economy going down the way it is right now. So, but yet we've withered that. And so we're doing okay as a state. So I'm confident the prognosis that some of the economists have made are going to hold true, or it's going to be even quicker than that, and we'll have a quicker turnaround.
So from 2010 to 2011, approximately, is that what you're saying?
I don't know about you, Sam, but I don't like that much.
I agree with that, but at least you're being straight up, and I appreciate that.
So anyway, here we are, and here you are. Let's go back to the telephones. Don in Makiki, way to the next longest. Hello, Don. Welcome for the program.
Aloha, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Well, this traffic's pretty good for money. No complaints here.
Yeah, it's good.
LG, I just got a quick question for you. I was wondering if there's been any definitive studies from either the Commerce or the Tourist Bureau regarding how much the smoking ban has hurt us with Japanese tourism.
You know, I haven't heard of any definitive studies. I've heard anecdotally from various restaurants and owners of restaurants. Some of them have said it has hurt their business, but some of them have said it hasn't. So I don't know what's out there. I believe that there should be some study out there, but I haven't heard. So, as soon as we do, that information will get out there. But for right now, there doesn't seem to be any indication that the ban has in any way hurt tourism as a whole. My understanding is that there are pockets of Japanese tourists who are not quite happy with that ban, and some of them actually have stayed away from Waikiki, from coming to Hawaii because of that. So
you know,
that I have heard.
I can throw something in, Don, and that is The Hawaii Restaurant Association generally said that the effect, although initially was a problem, it seemed to go away. But there is a group of bars that catered pretty much to drinkers that are very concerned. A lot of them, actually, some of them have gone out of business. So there's no question that it's affected the bar business and how much it has affected the hotel business. Some of these hotels are having these deals now where if you get caught smoking in a room, it costs you a few $100. So I guess, you know,
I can't see it affecting the hotels all that much. But
yeah, so your question is tourism as a whole, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, as a whole, I haven't heard of anything negative. But like I said, pockets of Japanese tourists have said that they're not happy with it. But, you know, and so we're trying to deal with that as best we can with the Japanese tourists.
Mahalo, gentlemen.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, thanks for the call. It's pretty interesting because there are studies in other places where initially everything takes a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then those that didn't used to go to certain places because they were full of smoke now start going.
Right.
You know, even like the nightclubs.
Right,
about that.
Right.
Okay, let's go to Bill in Kapolei Lane next. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Yes, hi. Good afternoon.
Yep.
Calling in regards to, you know, has anybody thought of mentioning or trying to get the college kids to go to start school later at, say, 9, 9:30 instead of that 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning right during high rush? I mean, it seems that, you know, you can't stop the grade school kids from changing the hours because of parents working. But, you know, the college kids, we actually have a control over that. And, you know, our classes all start at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, if they started the classes, the state-run college, at 9:30, it would sure make it easier for all us commuters from Kapolei, you know, sitting for 2 hours in traffic, you know?
Mm.
And, you know, today the traffic was good because everybody left at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. They were frightened that they were going to be late for work. But you mark my words, tomorrow and Thursday, it's going to be just jam-packed again. You know, it's just the way it is out here, you know? Is there anything we could do, Lieutenant?
Well, I don't think we have a control over the schedule of classes in regards to the University of Hawaii at Manoa. I know that they're cognizant of it, and as such, they've staggered their classes as such. But I think the problem is this. It's called parking. And the early bird catches his or her worm. So a lot of these commuters will go early, not so much for classes, but to find parking in the university area. So that's one. Secondly, I tried to look for some stats on this to see exactly how many people commute from the University of Hawaii, commute from the Leeward Coast to the University of Hawaii by car and or bus. And I couldn't get any numbers on that. Nobody has numbers on that. Nobody gave me any specific numbers as to how many commuters either by bus and or by cargo. So I can't really answer that question for you. I don't know how many of these students, I mean, are actually on the road, and if it would be, it is the early time, or as I just stated, because of parking. But I've heard that said many times, and I see it. I know that parking is very valuable and limited in the university area, so I know that's one of the issues. But I don't know if it's the class time also, because I did speak to administrators there, and I know they've been stagnating the times as best as they could.
Yeah, well, you know, you can understand the early bird parking, but, you know, early bird parking could start at 9 o'clock, you know, I mean, for college students. You know, it's just like we're stuck every day with that. Mm-hmm.
Bill, there have been, Bill, over the years, in also as just an observance, it always comes up to stagger the university, and there's always some union issues. Even among the teachers and the workers at the university, they may not want to get off work at 5 or 6 o'clock. Some of them have other things that they do. They do tutoring. They do other things. And some of that's been a stumbling block as well.
That's been an issue. But again, it really comes down. I mean, the university is the university. And so their classes staggered tremendously. So I don't think it's a matter of that. And that's why I'm saying when West Oahu comes in, you're going to see a tremendous difference. No doubt about it. Because many of those students will be going to the West Oahu campus. So, you know, that's one thing that's going to happen. But you'll see it also because I'm in the same traffic you're in, Bill. I don't always go as early as you do at 5 or 6 o'clock, but I do have my times when I do leave at 6 o'clock, and you will see it thinning out as the year goes on. But I will tell you this, Bill, and I don't know if you were in a zipper lane today, but that's the alternative. catch the zipper lane, carpool, and of course maybe ride the bus. And to me, that's the alternatives we have right now to just some of these traffic problems.
Yeah, unfortunately, I work three jobs.
So oh, I'm sorry.
There's no way I can take, I can't carpool with anybody, and I can't, take a bus because it's just impossible to go from the airport to Hawaii Kai at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and get there, and work until 9, 10 o'clock
right.
at night. It just doesn't work. And then I have to take a bus all the way to Kapolei. Yeah. I'd get home at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Well, you understand that. And, but this is where we got to encourage the other drivers to carpool, the ones that can get them to carpool.
Thanks for your call, Bill.
Now here's Mike Buck and Duke Iona on News Radio 830 KHVA.
Kind of ironic, we got a little Jimmy Hendrix. Crosstown traffic. Well, that's what we got. I hope that guy wasn't right. I hope he doesn't. Everybody was smart. They left at 5 o'clock this morning. The coffee shops must have been all excited, huh?
Yeah, people leave a little earlier, but I don't.
Tomorrow, let's see what happens tomorrow.
We'll see.
Okay, back to the phones. You want to talk with Lieutenant Governor? 521-8383 is the number. Dan in Honolulu. Hey, Dan.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. Why hasn't geothermal power been vigorously pursued here in Hawaii?
Well, actually, it has a history. And when it first was prospected, there were some challenges, and part of the challenge was not only from the environmentalists and some of the cultural practitioners in the state of Hawaii, but the technology just quite wasn't there. So that really put a big damper on geothermal from the very beginning. So it had to kind of retool and get back some credibility, and it has. It's now doing very well in the Puna area. And I think that's an area that is a source that is going to be looked upon to produce much, much more than what it's producing right now. The problem is that most of the geothermal that we have in the state is located on the island of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And so as such, for it to be transferred to other islands, you're going to have to run cables. And they did extensive studies on that, I believe, in the 70s or 80s. And it would be very, very expensive. Even till today, it would be very expensive to run cables. So I'm not quite sure if they're going to make that. Right now, we're not really thinking about that. But it's something that we'll see what the industry has to offer. When I say the industry, about people coming in, renewable companies coming in and seeing if they want to put that investment in there.
Let me ask you this as a writer question, because he's gone. And that is, Mr. Murdoch on Lanai,
who
wanted to do the wind energy,
yes,
said that it was feasible to run a cable.
So well, he's running a cable
from a lot shorter.
Yeah, from Lanai to Oahu is not as deep a channel as it is between Hawaii Island and Oahu,
right.
And going across that channel. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So it's expensive also, but not quite near the amount that it would cost to run a cable.
Interestingly enough, though, LG, a lot of these figures and formulas were worked out when gas was a buck a gallon.
Yeah,
right. Just totally doesn't look like it's going down.
I'm not saying that this is not feasible. Yeah. That it's not possible, and it would be extraordinary, inexpensive, and as such make it prohibitive. But it is expensive, and of course it's an alternative. It's something that's there, and it's something that'll be here for a while, no doubt about it.
Well,
so
the interesting thing to me is, and it's a great debate, is that the amount of energy that you lose transmitting it. But now the technology is such that when you convert it and then you send it and then you transpose it again, the loss is acceptable.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to the cost. All right, now, and I did tell you that the Lieutenant Governor is going to have to leave in a minute. And before you go, there was a story last week where you came out and were speaking out against lowering the drinking age from 21 to 18. This is something that comes up from time to time. And let's talk about that. A lot of the backers say, look, if you're old enough to, vote, and if you're old enough to serve your country and die for your country, you should be old enough to make a decision about drinking. The thing that's ironic is in the story that quoted you as being opposed to this, is that there were a group of universities that got together that said that they actually felt that by reducing the age would reduce the illegal drinking on campus. I that didn't make any sense to me.
Absolutely. There's really no basis to their claim, and that's what's very upsetting. The fact that here we have people who are, you know, they're in academia. Their whole thing is about science and research. Mm-hmm. And here they are coming forward and saying that, you know, if we lower the drinking age to 18, it would assist them in addressing this problem on binge drinking. And yet they have no science, they have no studies behind of that assertion. And yet all of the recent studies and all of the recent research shows without a doubt right now that it would be wrong simply because a child's brain continues to develop well into the 20s. And we've been doing more and more research now within the last 10 to 15 years on the effect that alcohol has on the development of our young people's brains. And for that reason alone, there shouldn't even be any discussion of that. But let's go back to really the root of why this initiative was started. It really is because there is a problem now. Our young people are drinking much more aggressively. They are binge drinking a lot more than when we were in college, whatever the reason is. And so they're looking for that silver bullet. They're looking for that silver, you know, that quick fix right now. But this is not going to do it. What it would do would take away the problem simply because they can say now, well, you know, everybody's legal now. I don't have to worry about this problem because they're 18 and they can drink and that's fine. So there's no problem with that. And they're thinking that as a result of that, you won't have binge drinking. Well, you'll have more drinking, no question about it. And if anything that you're doing, then you're pushing back the problem to high school. So you'll have more kids binge drinking in high school than we have right now. And it's not that we don't have binge drinking in high school. We already have that. The problem really, again, it boils down to this, and you've heard me say this many times, and we're going to have to just continue to work at this. This is one of these kind of problems that you got to chip away at it. You got to have perseverance. You got to have commitment.
Let me ask you this, because I know that this is a concern. Because I had a couple calls about this the other day, and that is that a parent with a kid going to college knows right now that drinking's off limits in colleges. Mm-hmm. Now, if the drinking age were lowered, would then campuses allow drinking on campus? Because if that's the case, there's certain liabilities. That let's say that my son gets hurt on campus because your son was drinking. I'm going to sue the university.
And got into a fight.
And whatever.
That's just it. So as you can see, it's about the culture. It's about changing. It's about we as a society saying we understand the nature of the studies regarding brain development and how alcohol affects that. And we're not saying prohibition where we outlaw alcohol in its entirety. But we know that if you start to drink after the age of 21, you're much more responsible. You have a better chance of not becoming either an alcoholic or dependent on alcohol, and that's where we need to go. We need to understand that. We need to have our parents take this up as a priority to enforce the laws, to be models about our children not drinking. We know a couple of things. We know first and foremost that most of our young people will not drink if their parents are against it. In other words, their parents are enforcing the law and saying, no, you're not going to drink. This is plain and simple. The law says, the law says 21, you're not going to drink. Our kids will listen to that. Mm-hmm. But if our parents give this, I did it when I was growing up, I'm okay. Well, of course the kids are going to have that attitude and they're going to drink.
Well, let me ask you this. What is this thing? Why do they call this the Amethyst Initiative? What's that all about?
The Amethyst is
the birthstone of February.
Right.
I remember that because of my mom.
Exactly. Yeah. And that jewel, apparently in Greek lore, meant to prohibit drinking or to prohibit people from becoming intoxicated.
Okay. So this is through these Ivy League schools, Duke, Dartmouth.
Right, some of them, not all Ivy League schools, but some of them. And that's why it's upsetting, because those are your research meccas. The Ivy League schools, Duke University, they've participated in the very research that I'm talking about the effect that alcohol has on the development of the brain. They've participated in these research. They have professors that have done these research projects, and they've come out and flat out said, you know, we're getting a better feel on this, and we have to understand this. So,
you know what I think
it's funny? Very disturbing.
What I think is funny is Harvard Medical is not any part of this because they know different.
Absolutely. You know? And I want to say this. You know, I called because I saw what Leon Richards did, and I, you know, he's a great guy. He's a good leader. We disagree obviously on this point. So I gave a call to President McLean and I asked him about his position. And President McLean refused to sign the initiative, and he said that. I'm not speaking for President McLean, but I did ask him what I could possibly represent on behalf of the university, and he said, well, we respect the law. We respect the fact that it's under the age of, if you're under the age of 21, you can't drink.
And, you know, even though I may have at one time in my life, because I was in that group where it was legal to drink and then it became illegal.
I was too.
But I got grandfathered. So I guess I was lucky. but I can remember at that time that the University of Hawaii took that stance then and still has it these years later through a number of administrations, and I think that's because of the implied liability. If something goes on at UH from a kid that's drinking, that there's hell to pay, and that they just weren't willing to do that because they had it happen a few times.
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to raise one more point as to why we're in strong opposition to this, and that is when we raised the age from 18 to 21, the last time we did that, and the federal government got on it, you know, because MAD was behind of it 100%. The numbers, as far as fatalities are concerned, for young people between the ages of 18 and 21 have been reduced by 50%.
Yeah, that speaks louder than words.
Oh, that, you can't argue with that as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, now speaking of words, you got to go. You got to go see these kids. What are you going to tell these kids from Hawaii that get off that plane tired as can be?
Well, what would anybody say? First of all, congratulations. Yeah. You know, great job. And we are just so proud of you and the job that you all did. You represented Hawaii, you know, as good as anybody can. And not only Hawaii, they represented the USA. Remember that.
Yeah,
they were the USA.
That's right.
They were the USA champions yesterday. And they represented the United States of America, the state of Hawaii. And they were just great ambassadors for baseball and for, like I said, humanity, because you know, I listened to their comments, and it was pretty neat comments. I think one of their studs, Pekai Winchester, gave a statement. He says, you know, it wasn't so much about winning; it was just about playing the game and having fun.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you one thing: of all of the accolades they got, the medals, whatever, it would serve you and your office well to stop by one of the fast food places, pick up a couple dozen Spam musubis, and pass them out at the airport as trophies.
You know, I think they're kind of dying for it. I think they want their pillow and their bed more than anything else.
Okay, LG's got to go. We'll be back again next time.